Proverbs 31, and we talk about the virtuous woman. Who can find her? Her price is above rubies and so on and so forth. And her husband is known in the gate of the city, and she buy land, do all of these great things. But today we want to talk about honoring God, and we want to talk about this example of a godly woman. The book of 2 Kings, we understand, is about Elisha, who was the prophet in the stead of Elijah, the one who God had used to do so many great things. The Bible says that Elijah, whose name means that God is Jehovah, that he did about 16 miracles. He did some mighty things. They had a showdown on Mount Carmel, and he proved that God is God. Amen? And then he had one who poured water on his hands, and that was the minister to him, an armor bearer for him, that the mantle of prophecy and being the prophet in that office fell upon him. Amen. Then this man of God did double. He asked him, he said, "What shall I do for you?" He said, "Give me a double portion." And when he went up, when Elijah was taken up by God, the mantle fell off, and he received a double portion because he did 32 miracles while his predecessor done 16 miracles. Amen? So he actually did get double, but you know, in the process of getting double, sometimes you get double trouble too. Come on and say amen. But the thing is that God had called him to it. God had called him by name for him to anoint him. He was minding his own business, working with 12 yoke of oxen. He was a foreman on the job, and then God told him to follow Elijah. Amen. And so in his faithfulness and him following, God blessed him and gave him this anointing. Amen. And it is important for us to know we need to flow and follow the anointing. Amen. And so this woman, this Shunammite, now the Bible says in verse 8, he says, "And it fell on a day that Elisha passed to Shunam, there was a great woman, and she constrained him to eat bread. So it was that as oft as he passed by, he turned in thither to eat bread." Now, the first thing that we need to see here, that Elisha, the prophet, whose name means the God of supplication, we need to realize first that he was doing his thing, what God was telling him to do. He did not pursue this woman, but the Bible says that she was a great woman. Amen. What we got to see here is that there are some things that made her great. You know how we always say that, oh, that's a good woman, that's a good man, and based off some things that we see them do or what they do for us, we label them good or great. But what you do for God makes you great. Come on and say amen. He said, what makes this woman great? And when we see here, the first thing that what made her great was that she reverenced God. We need to learn how to reverence God, honor him, amen? We need to reverence God, and when we reverence God and honor God, we honor him with our whole life. We honor him with everything that we do, everything that we say, how we act. We got to reverence God, amen? And not only that, but she was religious, amen? Because she religiously blessed the man of God, amen? She religiously, and every time he passed by, she constrained him. Not that she said, "Would you want something to eat?" And he might have said no. She said, "No, you got to come to my house. I need you to eat at my table." I remember the days where the people of old, they used to want the preacher to come to their house, and if he didn't come, they felt that it was offensive that he didn't come. But nowadays, we don't want him there. Nowadays, I hope he don't come by here. Oh, come on and say amen. But she reverenced God, and she religiously blessed the man of God, because at that time, that was the way to bless God. The only way to bless God was to bless the man of God. Now, what we got to see here as a church is that we got to bless, and I'm not telling you to just bless me, but all of you who are of the household of faith, the Bible say, do good unto them, especially those that are of the household of faith. So when we begin honoring one another, blessing one another, giving to one another, we are doing it as unto the Lord. And so God will in turn bless us so that we can continue being a blessing. He said he gives seed to the sower. Come on and say amen. Are you a sower? If you're not a sower, you might not like this, because you'll get sore when I start talking about sowing. And so when we look at this, this woman was great, first of all, because she reverenced God. And she religiously blessed the man of God and thought of him as a relevant part of her life and the life of her family. The reason why, let's go on and look at it. The Bible says, okay, she says that he passed by and she constrained him to eat bread. And so, in other words, she knew that he was on a journey. And she said, you know what? I'm going to give him, make my house the rest area for him. I'm going to make my house a place where he can be refreshed. I'm going to make my house a place where he can get his strength back from his long journey. Many of us, we don't think about that. We don't think about that our brothers and sisters in Christ sometimes get tired and we need to be the ones to refresh them. We don't think about how the man of God may get tired and we need to be responsible for refreshing the people of God. Come on and say amen. Oh yeah, we got to learn how as a church to refresh. The Bible tells us, and I know I'm skipping over the Revelation, but look at what it says. The Bible says that he would prefer you to be hot or cold, because if you're lukewarm, he'll spew you out of his mouth. What does he mean? He said, I'd rather you to be hot, meaning that you should be therapeutic. You should be at a place where you people can come and they can get therapy from you. They can feel better. You get the heat, amen, of hot water on some sore feet. You know that feels good. Oh, come on and say, man, you put heat on a sore muscle and it gets better. And so God said, I'd rather you be hot or cold. What do you mean by being cold? He said, I'd rather you be refreshing. Oh, that's the problem with some churches. You can go to church and walk out and you're not refreshed. You can go and walk out and you don't have any refreshment about yourself. You come out more depressed than you was when you walked in the door. You come out more sick, feeling worse than you did. When I say churches, I'm not talking about the actual church of the living God. I'm talking about some of these places that are called churches, but they're really social clubs. But she thought that this man who had a relevant part of the life of her and her family, he would be blessed. Now, let's look at the second point I want to make. And the Bible says in part B of that, he said she constrained him to eat bread every time he passed by. Then verse 9 said, and she said unto her husband, behold, now I perceive that this is a holy man of God, which passeth us by us continually. Let us make a little chamber for him, and I pray on the wall, and let us set for him there a bed, a table, a stool, and a candlestick. And it shall be when he cometh to us that he shall turn in thither. And it fell on that day that he came thither and turned into the chamber and lay there. Now we got to see here that this woman, not only was she great, but she was gracious. Amen. The reason why I say gracious is because some things we got to understand. Grace is unmerited favor. He did not do anything to deserve the favor that he got from her. Amen. She didn't even know. She said, I perceive he's a man of God. She never got a prophecy, but yet she gave to him. Some of us not going to give anything unless somebody prophesied. You have never given $50 in the offering until somebody prophesied and you say, I think I'll give 50 now. She was gracious and she persistently pressured the man of God to come into her house. And look at this. She didn't seek for anything in return. She only wanted to be a blessing. Many of us, the reason why we give is so that somebody will give back to us. The reason why we act out and we do any type of thing, any meritable favor, is because we want to receive something. The church has gone way too far now, because all we think about is, if I give, God gonna give it back. If I give, and you know what? You can't be God given. That's true. And you know what? He will reward you and multiply you and give you blessings beyond that you ever can compare or think yourself to receive. But the thing about it is that when I give it, I ought to not look for it back, because you know what? It all belongs to him. He said, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof and them that dwell therein. I wish I had somebody here that understand that you, in order to honor God, you have to learn how to be gracious. She was gracious. And it says that she talked to her husband about it. Now, we got to see something here. This woman, if we could talk about a virtuous woman, she would be that, because her husband respected her opinions. We got a lot of things going on now in this Western culture, and not just this Western, but some Eastern too, whereas we see that the man does not respect the woman. Amen. You'll have to. I'm going to say amen. And we think of them as being lower than they should be. Come on and say amen. I got a problem with that, because that's chauvinistic. This man listened to his wife. His wife was getting them to a place of blessing. We got to understand something. The Bible said we ought to honor our wives, and he says that treat her as the weaker vessel. And we heard the wrong interpretation, and they say, well, because they're the weaker vessel, meaning they ain't as strong as I am. I guarantee you some women that's stronger than most men I know. Most of us was raised by strong women. Come on and say amen. When it says the weaker vessel, what he's saying, really that word weaker, it means to be a prized possession, meaning put her on the top shelf, where nobody can handle her any kind of way, where she's unreachable to the average person, where he can't and she can't try and hurt or damage them. Not that they just weaker and they can't carry the load. Some women can carry the load. How many of us can have a child and then bury a child? Come on. Some women can do that. Come on and say amen. But she was gracious. Didn't ask for anything in return. Elisha never done anything for her, never spoke a word to her, a prophecy. Come on and say amen. And since that, she continued to bless him, continued to have bread, continued to have, and look, it wasn't cheap to build a chamber on side of the house. You know how it is. We can't even pad onto our houses now. And look, she got a husband to go along with. She said, I perceive that this is a man of God. I see something that how he carried himself made her believe that this man was a man of God. And that goes to show you we got to carry ourselves in a way that honors God. Amen. Let's go on a little further. Verse 12 said, and he said unto Gehazi, his servant, call the Shunammite. And when he had called her, she stood before him. So here it is. Now he's finally going to talk to her about something. And he said unto her, behold, thou hast been careful for us with all this care. Now, not only, look, this is something. Now, she's been blessing the man of God, but he's been bringing his helper with him. Now, you know how it is. We would have said, now, I don't mind doing for the pastor, but Brother Eric need to stay home. I got enough for him, but I don't have enough for Bobby. Oh, come on and say amen. That's what we would have said. I ain't doing it no more because he don't know how to bring just himself. He always bringing somebody with him. But this woman still did what she was supposed to do and what she had vowed to do and what she wanted to do because she was a great and gracious woman. And he asked her, he said, what can I do for you? And he said, do you want me to speak to the king for you? Do you want me to speak to the captain of the host for you? She said, no, I'm with my people. I'm good. Amen. What he was saying is that, do you want me to talk to the king and give a good word on your behalf and maybe he'll bless you with something greater? Or do you want me to speak to the captains of the host that he can come and put a special guard at your house and protect you and everything that you have? Do you want me to do that? She said, no, I don't want anything. Oh, boy, if it was us, I sure want to see what the king table looked like. If it was us, I want to have my own servant that if I say get him, he'll get him. If I say sick him, I bet they won't mess with me. Now, I dare her to say something to me. Don't look at me crazy because I put him on you. That's how we would have reacted. But this woman, an example of a godly woman who honored God, she said, I don't want anything. All I want is you to be comfortable when you pass by. All I want is you to eat this bread that I put on your table and enjoy yourself while you're at my house. But then he asked Gehazi, he said, what can we do for this woman? We don't deserve how good she's been to us, so what can we do to bless her? What can we do? When you honor God, God will put it on people's heart to bless you. He said, give and it shall be given, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Shall other men give into your bosom? Why? Because you honor God with your giving. If you honor God with giving of your time, your talent, and your treasure, guess what? God will bless you. He will give back to you. I want to honor God with whatever I have. And when I honor him with all my substance, then God continues to give me substance because he will never let me go lacking. That's why David could say these words. He said, I have been young and I have been old, but never have I seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. And the reason why is because David knew how to honor God. When there wasn't nobody out in the field, he pulled out his harp and he praised the Lord. Oh, come on and say amen. David knew how to honor God. She knew how to honor God. But look, he says, what can we give her? And then he says, the woman, Gehazi, his servant, said, you know, she don't have any children. Her husband old, and when he dies, she's going to be on her own. So she need a son to help her out when she get old, because she's been a blessing to us. Now, he called her back in, and he says, you don't have a child. This time of season, you'll have a child. And she, look at what she said in verse 16. And he said, about this time, according to the time of life, thou shalt embrace a son. And she said, nay, my lord, thou man of God, do not lie unto thine handmaid. She said, look, don't get my hopes up high. It hadn't happened in all these years. My husband got up there in age. I don't think it's going to happen. Don't lie to me. Don't get my hopes up high. And the woman, look at this in verse 17, conceived and bare a son in that season that Elisha had said unto her, according to the time of life. Now, the one thing that God will do, God will give you a gift. God gave her a gift because she was great and gracious enough to be a blessing. She honored God with how gracious she was toward the man of God and his companions. Amen. We got to see something here. There is a principle here that when you can bless God through blessing people, amen, you can bless people and bless God through blessing them, then God will continue to bless and continue to give to you whatever it is you need and then some. See, God is not going to let you have a need and you've been honoring him. He's not going to let you have a need and not supply. Paul said that my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory. We need to know that God is rich. He's never deficient. He's never bankrupt. And he can give you everything that you need. Verse 18, when the child was grown, fell on a day that he went to his father and with the reapers. Now, look at this. This is wonderful. I see this now. Here it is. This woman who had been gracious enough to bless the prophet, the man of God, and great enough to understand that if you sow, you shall reap. She had sown into the man of God, and look at what her husband's doing now. He's reaping in the field. When you sow certain seeds, seeds of honor, then God will push up a harvest that you can reap. But while they were out there, you know how the devil is. The devil don't want you to enjoy you reaping your harvest. He don't want you to be able to say, oh, look at what God has done. He wants to turn your attention from all that God is doing. Look at all these things that popped up in my life that I didn't know God was going to do. Look at all these blessings. And you're looking at all the stuff that God is doing. And then all of a sudden, something goes wrong in your house. Maybe it's somebody related to you, like this woman. It was her son. Something went wrong in the house. Come on and say amen. The devil don't want you to rejoice over the things that God has been pushing up in your life, because you got a harvest going on and you're rejoicing at the harvest, but all of a sudden the enemy comes in and tries to attack so that you can't rejoice in your time to reap. Oh, yeah, it's my time to reap, and I can't rejoice because of what the devil's brought in my life. I can't rejoice because of the family. If something happens to a family member, I can't rejoice because the devil attacks me in my mind. And look at this woman. She began to be grievous. She had grief. Bible says her son was sick, and the daddy said, take him to his mother. I got too much to harvest here. Take him to his mother. And the Bible said that she held him, and around noon on her knees, he died. It's something to have a child in your arms, on your lap, and it die. Something you didn't even ask God for, but you wanted so badly. And looked like you got what you wanted, and looked like it's all gone in a moment. Have anybody ever been there? It seemed like I've gotten just what I need, but all of a sudden, looked like in a moment, it started to die. Starts to fade away. So all of a sudden this woman began to grieve, and she said, you know what? She said, the one, I didn't even ask for this child, but I'm going to take this child to the chamber of the man of God so that when he come through, he'll see. But all of a sudden she said, you know what? Go tell my husband that I need one of the donkeys. Now you got to see something here. This man was out there using these donkeys. Oh, come on and say amen. But she called for one of them so that they could go and meet the man of God. But all of a sudden now, this man said, well, I guess we ought to let her go. Why do you want to go? He said, because today ain't Sunday. It ain't time to go to church. Why do you want to go see the man of God? She didn't even tell anybody that the baby had died. She didn't even tell anybody how bad off her son was. Some people say it was a heat stroke. He said, my head, and it began to hurt. And all of a sudden now, the servant, he saddles up the donkey, and they get up the road to go see the man of God. Now, they get there, and the man of God sees her from a distance, and he said, go meet her and see if everything is well. Ask her, is it well with you? Is it well with your husband? Is it well with your child? And she gave him an answer. She said, it is well. Now, we got to see something here. We got to see her faith in action. This woman is a great example of a godly woman, because I don't care what it looked like. I felt the dead body in my hand. His blood or her, everything became cold. I laid his dead body in the chamber. I've seen this with my physical eye. I felt it with my hands, but I'm not going to accept it because I know what God can do. It is well. Do I have any people in here that say it is well? I've experienced it. I've been through it, but I still say it is well. Oh yeah, it's well with my soul. I've experienced it. I feel the emotions of it. I'm grieving about it, but I believe that it is well. I'm here now. I ain't got no turning back. I believe that the same God that blessed me with it can turn around and raise it back up. It is well. I believe the same God that I didn't even ask for this. I didn't ask him for it, but this God thought of me enough that he blessed me. And so since he blessed me, I know if he blessed me once, he can bless me again. Oh, yeah, it is well. I wish I had some people in here today that would say it is well with my soul. Oh, yeah, I felt it. I know how bad it feels. I know how much it hurts. But I believe if I can just get to the man of God, if I can get to God, you got to understand that this man of God represented God to the people. I'm not saying go run to the man of God, but I'm saying you need to run to God. Elisha's name meant the God of supplication. And so in other words, she was going to pray. She said, I don't know how to get to God other than to go to the man of God who can pray for me. He prayed that I got this, so let him pray that God will raise this. He prayed that God bless me, let him pray that God will bless me again. It is well with me once I can get to my prayer closet. You got to see where Elisha was. The Bible said he was on Mount Carmel. He was in the same cave, in the cave round about the same place where Elijah got discouraged. That's where they hung out, in the cave. That was his place of dwelling. You can find him in the cave. But we got to understand what this woman did. She said, I'm going to the place. I'm going to the cave. And the Bible tells us that Jesus said that if you pray to God in private, that God will reward you openly. You see, this woman didn't tell her husband that I'm going to get the man of God to pray. She didn't say this boy died. She didn't say anything. She just said, I need to go and see the man of God. And while she was there, she said, I need you to understand, I didn't ask for a child, but since my heart got set on it, and since you blessed me with it, I believe you're responsible for making sure that it gets life. You're responsible for the well-being of the child. We got to understand something. If God has blessed you, you've been trying so hard to achieve, you've been trying so hard to keep it, but guess what? If God has blessed you, he's responsible for keeping the blessing going. Okay, you don't believe me? Let's go back. The Bible says that Abraham had a son named Isaac, and Isaac went through some stuff. Isaac had some experiences, but God had blessed him. God had said that I'm responsible for making sure that you get a seed, and when you got it, that your seed have a seed, and your seed have a seed. And so in other words, God is saying, you leave it up to me. Let me do it. It is well with you. Let me bless you. Let me keep you. Let me keep your seed. Let me handle this thing. And so what I'm trying to tell you is that we need to get to a place where we can let God handle our situations. And the Bible says that Elijah said, the Lord has hid this thing from me. He said, I didn't even know what was going on. She said, I didn't ask you for a child. He said, wait, I didn't even know what was going on. But he said, Gehazi, he said, take my staff. He took the staff and he ran down. to go put the staff on the bar to see if the staff would help to raise him from the dead. Now, when we look at this, we got to understand she wouldn't go with Gehazi. Verse 30 says, and the mother of the child said, as the Lord liveth, as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And he arose and followed her. But Gehazi went and he put the staff on her son. And the Bible said that nothing happened. He reported that nothing didn't happen. Now, the thing about this is that Gehazi went from a positional standpoint. He went from position. He had the staff of the man of God. He went in by position. But the man of God had to go with compassion. The Bible said that Jesus, when he healed, he did it with compassion. And if we're going to do anything for the Lord, we can't do it from a position because of who we are and because of what we stand for. No, we have to do it with compassion. We got to see here that when the woman said that I'm not going to leave you, she said that you got to go with me. We have to be so persistent in our faith and so persistent with what we ask God to do that the man of God, what did he do? He followed her. He said, I'd go where you want me to go. Oh, come on and say amen. We need to be so persistent that when we get ready to move out and do things that we want to do and we are in God's face being persistent, that God will follow us. Well, what do you mean? The Bible says in 23rd Psalm, at the end of it, he said, goodness and mercy shall follow. That's what followed her that day. Elisha said, listen, woman, you've tapped into something. You've tapped into the goodness of the Lord. You've tapped up into the mercies of the Lord. And since you tapped into the mercy, death will behave. And since you tapped into the goodness, your son shall be raised back to life. I wish I had somebody that understood that you got something following you. If you're persistent in your faith, he will follow. Oh, yeah, he'll go with you. Oh, yeah, I want the Lord to be with me. And he'll go with you, amen, if you're persistent in your faith. And the Bible said that he went. He put his mouth upon the boy's mouth. Hands on his hand, eyes on his eyes. He basically covered the boy. Nothing happened at first. The body got warm, but he still wasn't breathing. Sometimes that's how it is at church. You got warm bodies, but there's no spirit, no breath. Oh, my God. We warm, we all right, but we ain't got no spirit, no life in us. Oh, help us, Holy Ghost. Elisha, he performed a spiritual CPR. He got off the board and he walked back and forth through the house. And then he asked the Lord, he said, bring his soul back to him. And the Bible said that the boy was raised up and he sneezed 7 times. He was completely healed of whatever the problem was. Oh yeah, that number 7 means that there was a complete transformation from death back to life. Oh, come on and say, man, that was something happened completely in him. And I got more to say. I wish I had time to give you the revelation of some of this. But look at this. He says that the boy sneezed 7 times. Amen. And then in verse 36, he said, and he called Gehazi.
We know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries of Natchitoches, Louisiana. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. Our church is located 1401 Welch Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support. We know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries of Natchitoches, Louisiana. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. Our church is located 1401 Welch Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries